from the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, February 17th through Sunday, February 19th. I'm Philip Grant. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reported in the Register Star that approximately 200 people gathered in front of the Columbia County Courthouse in Hudson on Friday, February 17th to protest the removal of three men by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents from Hudson City Court on Wednesday. The men were in court to answer charges of drunken driving, according to their attorney, Michael C. Howard, and Hudson Police Chief Ed Moore. Attendees at the rally heard from various speakers and waved signs in resistance to the local incident and in protest of the ongoing detentions around the country. An executive order signed by the president last month expanded the country's immigration enforcement priorities. Immigration officials have been directed to prioritize undocumented individuals convicted of any criminal offense, as well as anyone who has, and I quote, committed acts that constitute a chargeable criminal offense, end quote. ICE has repeatedly failed to respond to the paper's request for comment about the Hudson detentions. On Thursday, February 16th, U.S. Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, voted no on a bill that would help states defund Planned Parenthood. The measure would repeal a rule Barack Obama signed in December that prevents state governments from blocking federal family planning funding from specific health care providers for any reason other than competence. Faso was one of only two Republicans to vote against the measure, which passed in the House 230 to 188. William J. Kimball reported in the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson has announced its plans to replace nearly 21,000 feet of natural gas lines along 22 streets in the city and the town of Ulster. The work is expected to begin in June and will be done in phases. A company spokesman said the new lines will be polyethylene and will replace a system of iron and steel. He said most of the lines to be replaced were installed before 1950. In some cases, they were put into the ground as early as the 1900s. The Ulster project is part of a 15-year initiative to update all of Central Hudson's natural gas lines. The utility will spend $21 million this year to replace 14 miles of line. Replacement lines are also scheduled for Catskill, Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, Cornwall, New Windsor, and Wappingers Falls. Jeanette Wolfberg reported in the Columbia paper that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors approved resolutions relating to sales taxes, bus service, and housing at its regular meeting this month. The board renewed its annual request to the state legislature that would allow the county to continue charging a 4% sales tax, 1 percentage point above the state 3% state default. The current 4% authorization will expire on November the 30th, and the recent request from the Board of Supervisors would extend that okay through November 2019. The board also voted to reassign the county bus contract to Johnson Transportation, LLC, effective March the 1st through April the 12th, 2018. The board also authorized payment of $24,500 to Capital Advocates, and I quote, to help plan for the acquisition of transitional and permanent low-income housing, end quote. County Department of Social Services reported 95 homeless individuals in its system in December and 94 in November. Rick Carlin reported at Capitol Confidential that Republican State Senator Kathy Marchione is sponsoring legislation that would mandate annual staff surveys at Office of Children and Family Service Facilities. The survey would take note of how many non-administrative employees are on duty and provide information on the number of employees out with workers' compensation claims or who have suffered on-the-job injuries. Marchione took the action in the wake of the controversy concerning recent staff attacks and staffing levels at OCFS facilities such as the Brookwood Secure Center Youth Facility in Claverick. In December, a Brookwood employee was hospitalized after a resident struck him on the head with a wet floor sign while the man was working as an aide. Assaults on youth center employees has long been a controversial area, and it seems to be continuing as a point of contention between unionized workers and management, Carlin writes. Victoria Addison reports in the Register Star that the New Lebanon Board of Education last week rejected a measure that would have provided an alternative tax exemption for veterans who own real property in the district. Five of six board members voted against the resolution, one abstained. The alternative exemption would have provided a reduction in school taxes for veterans who served in overseas conflicts. The amount of the reduction would vary depending on where the veteran served and if they have service-related disability. New Lebanon Town Supervisor Colleen Teal said on Friday, February the 17th, she was disappointed with the board's decision. Teal said, and I quote, "But it also recognized the school district is an important part of the community, and I think it's really important that we work collaboratively," end quote. Finally, Amanda Purcell reported in the Daily Mail that the Catskill Central School District is currently in talks with a candidate for superintendent. Final candidate was chosen from a field of three finalists February the 1st. Board of Education President Kyle Lyles said an announcement is anticipated, and I quote, "soon," end quote. If negotiations are successful, the new superintendent will begin work July the 1st, he said. Lyles said, and I quote, "We are not able to release any details about the candidate, but we will as soon as everything is official. However, until the contracts are signed, it's not official," end quote. The district has been without a school's chief since Kathleen Farrell left the position in November 2015. Interim School District Superintendent Anne Marie Barkman is expected to continue to serve in the district's top spot until June the 30th. The new superintendent will be paid an annual salary of $140,000. Farrell earned a base salary of $213,000 a year and a benefits package worth $43,000 during the 2015-16 school year. Today is day six of the WGXC Radical Radio 2017 Winter Pledge Drive. During the coming days, WGXC programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise $20,000 to keep WGXC hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Green and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with a temperature high near 41 degrees, but Monday night mostly clear with a low around 21. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, a slight chance of rain after 1 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 41 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 33. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 53 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 35. Sunrise today was at 6:42 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:35 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 52 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 20th day of February, 2017. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.